This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
Hey, good morning, everybody. A lot better day than it was a week ago right now, isn't it? Yeah, I thought I was going to float out of here last week. Hey, my name's Chris Bell, if you don't know me, and I am on the lead team here. But this is kind of a bittersweet weekend for me because I'm only on staff here through today. This will actually be my last talk that I give here at the Orchard for a while. I'm sure I will come back and visit. Don't leave on account of that. It won't be too frequently. I'm glad that I can be here and share a little bit with you as we continue this series called Becoming. And now in this series, we've been examining the gap that exists in all of our lives between who we are and who God dreams for us to be. And we've been looking at the practices that we can engage in, communal practices, contemplative practices, as we practice being spiritual and we practice being human, as we move from who we are now to who God dreams for us to be. But I want to ask the question in a little bit different way this morning, because we've been looking at practices that we can do individually on our journey of becoming. Well, I want to ask the question, what are we becoming? What is the Orchard becoming as a community? Because I have a little bit of a different perspective in the fact that I've been on staff and I'm heading off. So we want to look at that question this morning. And the story of the Orchard's becoming is actually 80 years old. Did you know that? How many people here knew that the Orchard has been around for 80 years? A few of you? Yeah, that's great. The church currently known as the Orchard was known by a different name, started 80 years ago, helping people on their relationship, leading them towards a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And my connection with the Orchard began in 1997 when my sister got married in what was then known as Aurora First Assembly, and Pastor Larry Hodge, Scott's dad, performed this ceremony. And that was my first connection. But then some years later, I had gotten into ministry, and I'm serving as a lead pastor of a church in the area, and we are undergoing a transition, a pretty big transition. We're becoming a church that's more focused on reaching other people, and we're doing all these things. And as you know, if you were around during Orchard's transition, that's painful. Anytime a church does that, it's just painful. And Scott wrote an article in Leadership Journal detailing the Orchard's transition and talking about how they had come out of it and what was happening now. And I saw that article and I just thought, man, my leaders need to hear this. So I connected with Scott and I said, Scott, can I bring my leaders over to the Orchard? You know, we didn't know each other, but here's where we're at. And Scott said, sure. So we met, I think, like once for lunch. And then I brought the leaders of the church I was at over here. And Scott talked all about the transition and where they were and how much it cost and where they were headed. And kind of did a great job of painting a picture of the light at the end of the tunnel. Well, as soon as we met with Scott, the whole thing kind of blew up. And not in a good way. And seriously, what I mean is that the transition did not end like I would hope. And it was actually one of the more challenging times in my ministry, one of the painful moments in my life. But one of the things that did come out of that was this friendship I had with Scott. And that continued. And we talked about the idea, man, wouldn't it be great if one day God created an opportunity for us to work together? And some time later, I found myself at this point of transition, and Scott was needing some help here in the Orchard, and so I joined the staff. And so I'm able to tell you that the Orchard here is not just a name. The Orchard here is a reality, as I'm sure it is for most of you, a place of growth and protection and healing. And so I thought, what if I looked at the journey of the Orchard through this idea, through its name, through Orchards? And I know a little bit about Orchards. Some of you who know my story know my dad was bipolar, manic depressive. When I was in fifth grade, I came home from school to find him home, which is unusual. And he's sitting at the table smiling at me. He said, son, I just quit my job and we bought an apple orchard in Washington State. We're leaving. Now, my dad was an air conditioning mechanic in Silicon Valley. This time, remember computers used to take up whole rooms? And you had to keep the air conditioning set at 68 degrees so that the computers didn't overheat. Well, my dad's job was to keep that room, that computer environment at 68 degrees. He'd done that for 15 years. He said, we just bought an apple orchard. So I thought, okay. So we all jumped in an RV and we drove up from Southern California to the state of Washington. And, you know, at fifth grade, you don't know a whole lot. But I can remember the memories as clear as my head as if it was yesterday. In this RV, we took a left onto a little dirt road, and I looked up and saw this orchard, and I kind of figured something was wrong when every tree in it was dead and there were no leaves and no apples. And I said, "Dad, aren't those supposed to be like leaves on those trees?" Dad said, "Shut up, son." And we learned real fast a lot about orchards, like how to get out of a contract for buying a dead orchard sight unseen. So I know a little bit about orchards, and whether you do or not, maybe you can relate to the fact that this place is more than just named the orchard. That the orchard is kind of a reality for how this church works. So I started looking through Scripture and asking God, "God, show me something that I can teach. Show me something that I can learn about this church as it relates to trees and the orchards." And God led me to the book of Psalms. And if you ever read through Psalms, you know it's a great place to go if you are studying a journey, if you're looking at how I become who God wants me to be, because Psalms are praise songs and they're poems, and I spend time in the Psalms almost every day. So I opened to Psalms, and I didn't get farther than Psalms 1. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to the book of Psalms. If you don't know where that's at exactly, go ahead and open your Bible to the middle. It's usually just a little bit left of center. You go to Psalms 1 and just actually get into the third verse. And I find this. Psalms chapter 1 verse 3 says, "He." And to reference that, the verse right before that, verse 2, "he" refers to someone whose delight is God's instruction. That pronoun, that's what that means. So, someone whose delight is in God's instruction is like a tree that's planted. Another translation says, "rooted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither." I've read this verse my whole life. Raised in church, been around church, read the Bible most of my life, always thought this referred to a person. So I started studying this, and come to find out, this scripture actually refers to a church, a gathering of people. And if you do the research on it, there was a literary tool to say we're talking about one person as if it means a group. But if you have a study Bible, chances are you will look down and see a footnote for Psalms 1 to show that it's actually talking about a bunch of people. So this says that the church is like a tree. That's a pretty good analogy. In fact, I want to read this again, except I want to make a substitution based on what we just learned, okay? Psalms chapter 1, verse 3 says, "The church is like a tree planted or rooted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither." Now, this talks about three parts to this tree. At first, it talks about the roots. Then it talks about the fruit. And then it talks about the leaf. Pretty good description of a tree. But if this is supposed to be the church, then let's see what each of those means. What could the root possibly be in this? If the tree is a church, what could the root possibly be? Well, normally I would think that the root would refer to Christ, the source. But in this scripture, I think Jesus is the water that the tree is planted close to. So I don't think that could be it. Jesus refers to himself as living water. He referred back to the Old Testament a lot as he taught. So I think Jesus is the water. So what could the roots be? Well, the short answer, I think, is the roots are the staff, the leadership, the pastors, whoever leads the church. Because as we read the Bible, we discover that a lot rises and falls on leadership. And it's the leadership's ability to stay rooted, to stay close to the living water that set up Moses and David and Nehemiah and all the great leaders who led people through the scriptures. And so the leadership is the roots, and they have to be rooted close to the water, drawing life to pass on to the rest of the organism, drawing life to pass on to the rest of the church. Also, rooted deep into the soil. What happens to a tree whose roots only run very shallow? As soon as a storm comes, as soon as pressure comes, what happens to that tree? We just saw with Hurricane Ike, they topple. The stronger the wind, the stronger the roots that are needed. So a strong root system that will dig in during the storms and that will be able to tap into the water and give sustenance to the whole tree. The stronger the trunk and the branches and the roots, the bigger the tree can grow, the more that it can do. So, The first thing that's mentioned is the roots. That's the staff. Next, it talks about fruit. I think it's interesting that when God describes the church in one of the earliest passages, it talks about the church and fruits, meaning there might be a lot of fruity people that walk into the church, right? If you're not laughing like that, just let that sink for a minute because, you know. Why does it talk about the fruit next? Well, what's the purpose of a tree? Pick an apple tree. What's the purpose of an apple tree? When you first look at an apple tree, how do you assess it? If you're at all like me, you go, wow, that's a big tree. The leaves cover a lot of leaves. It's tall, it's broad. And, you know, if I look at an orchard, I look at all the trees and how big they are. I look at size and scope, just like you probably do, right? But if you run an orchard, how do you assess a tree? Well, we got a good crop of leaves this year. No, what do? How much fruit is produced? We got so many bushels of apples. The fruit is the purpose behind the tree. So the fruit is what the tree is all about. So what could the fruit possibly be in the church? Well, I think the Bible spells that out very clearly for us. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says very clearly, here is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. This is the fruit that grows from your life. If you are close to the living water, if you are growing in a relationship with Jesus Christ, here is the fruit that is produced by the tree that is the church. And now that's a long list, and it got to be a little confusing for me and big as I was studying this, and I realized something. All those fruit that are listed are really summarized by the first, love. Because if you look at the rest of them, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, those are all wrapped up in love. Tim Sanders a few years ago wrote a book called Love is the Killer App. He was a bigwig at Yahoo, and he was writing this book to say that love is really the essential element in business. Well, in that same vein, if love is the killer app in his sense, then love is really the first fruit. In that if I want to know if my life is producing fruit or if a church is doing what it's supposed to be doing, the fruit that will be produced is love. Now, this says the fruit that is produced in season. Psalms 1 says, fruit that's produced in season. What's that mean? Anybody here ever gotten hold of an apple that wasn't ripe yet? Nobody. I'm the only one that eats bad apples, apparently. So y'all teach me where to shop. No. What happens when you get an apple that's not ripe yet? It's nasty. It's hard as a rock. It's sour, right? How do you know when that apple is ripe? Well, besides taste, what's inside of an apple? What's inside? Seeds. Seeds. The ultimate purpose of an apple is seeds. Because what is an apple really? An apple is a yummy, sweet, tasty seed delivery vehicle. What do I mean? What do you do when you eat an apple? When you get down to the core or to the seeds, right? Well, I don't. I can't actually say that because my wife yells at me. But when I eat an apple, I eat everything but the stem. My wife thinks I'm weird, and I probably am. But most people, normal people, when you eat an apple, what do you do with the seeds? Now, how many of you pick an apple off of an apple tree, stand right there, eat it, and spit the seeds out right at your feet? If you do that, don't raise your hand because people will avoid you. Okay? What do you do when you take this? You walk. The seeds always end up where? Somewhere else. If an animal gets hold of the apple and eats it, even if he consumes the whole thing, the seeds pass through the animal and they're deposited what? Somewhere else. Well, if the fruit of the church is love and every fruit contains seeds, what are the seeds? Well, again, the Bible teaches us pretty clearly on that too. Matthew chapter 13, and I'm not going to teach this, this could be a whole other series, but Jesus says the seeds are the Word of God. The seeds are the Word of God. So if the fruit of my love is growing, it is to carry the seeds of the Word of God into someone else's life. You with me? That's the purpose of it. Now, here's something about seed. Here's a seed right here. I don't know if you can see that or not. You see that on my palm? Small, huh? But when this grows, what's it turn into? Huge tree. How does that happen? I mean, little tiny thing. Huge tree. Jesus even spoke about this in Mark chapter 4. He says, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable should we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed. Because he was standing near a mustard plant. I wish he'd been standing next to an apple tree. It would have made this go better. But it's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown in the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. When a church is doing things right and the staff or the roots are deep and close to the living water so storms can't rock the church and so the living water is infused throughout the entire church and the fruit of love is growing in the lives of all the people of that church, because if you recall, we are the church, right? The fruit of love is there so we can deposit the seeds of God's word as we love on people, as they experience our joy, our peace, our patience, our kindness, our goodness, our faithfulness, our gentleness, our self-control. It is so that the seed of God's word can be planted into their life and grow into a new creation so much larger than the little seed that was planted, all because the fruit of your love was carried to where it needs to be. It's a neat analogy, isn't it? That's how we are becoming in a communal sense. The fruit of our love plants the seed of God's word, and God's word helps us to become what we need to be. In fact, love is so important that in John chapter 13, Jesus says, here's how people will tell you're my followers, by your love. Not by your shirt, your bumper sticker. Not by the things you know, although there's nothing wrong with those things, just by how you love God and how you love other people. So the whole purpose of the tree is to produce this fruit that makes sure the seeds of God's word are carried to where they need to be. Okay, well, that leaves one more element. If you remember from Psalms 1, talked about the root, the fruit, and the leaves. What are the leaves? Well, do you remember what a tree's leaves do? Can you remember back to biology class? What are trees about? Leaves are about a process called photosynthesis. Leaves are the little engines for the tree. Here's what a leaf does. As a leaf is exposed to the sunlight, the light of the sun hits the leaf and causes a reaction in the leaf, and then the leaf produces the resources, the sugars that the tree needs in order to live. Have you all eaten these apples that you got when you came in? By the way, I thought that was pretty brave of me, right? I put a baseball-sized hard fruit in everybody's hand the last time I'm preaching here. It's pretty brave, right? Have you eaten this? When you eat this, does that taste like bark? Don't ask me how I know what bark tastes like, because I do. I'm just not going to tell you. Does that taste like tree? How'd that get so sweet? Where'd all the sugar come from? The leaf gets the light of the sun, and that light, that sun, creates a reaction in that leaf, and that leaf produces the resources needed to make the fruit of that tree sweet. So who are the leaves? You are. We are. We're the little engines that produce the resources the church needs so that the love, the fruit of the church, is sweet. Now, when I learned this, it made me a little concerned, because this is the last weekend before autumn. And if we're all the leaves, I wanted to make sure we weren't all going to turn colors and fall down. But we are, it's our job to be what produces the resources. The leaves are the people who serve, who give sacrificially, who do the work of the church, being the little engines that stay connected to the root system, that get the light that comes from the sun, that produce the resources and the sweetness so that the fruit of the church will indeed be sweet. And by the way, when a tree is dead, what's one of your first indications that the tree is dead? When you can see it from afar, how do you know the tree's dead? the leaves are all withered. That's why the scripture says this tree, this church, has leaves that don't wither. See, because when a leaf stops producing, when a leaf stops producing the resources, what happens? It withers and dies. When a tree has leaves that aren't functioning, there's no fruit. And that's how you tell an unhealthy apple tree. Just like when you look at a church, if you see no love, no fruit of love in the church, and you see not production and resources and giving and serving within the people of the church, that's how you know it's dead. Something else that I discovered, as you know, we put talks here together at the Orchard as a team, and the team brought this to my attention this last week. One other thing the leaves do, which is really cool. Anybody here besides me like taking a nap underneath a shade tree in the summertime? Boy, you're not an apple-eating or a nap-taking bunch, are you? You just don't like trees. Apparently, I just went the wrong way here. Okay. I take a nap sometimes under the shade of a tree because when it's really hot outside, I've cut the grass or something, that shade is just a comfortable environment, isn't it? Like, when I'm not connected to the tree, all those leaves provide shade, which keeps the light from being a little too overwhelming right now. All the people in a church provide the right environment for someone who is not yet connected to that root system to come in and discover a place where it's comfortable and they figure out if this is the place they connect or not. That's why you're the leaves. Okay. So, Psalm 1 says the church is like a tree, root, fruit, and leaves. All that's really great. That's really cool. Man, that's some great stuff. So what? Because if we stopped right here, who cares? I mean, that's really great. Okay, the church is a tree. We can go home now. No, what difference does that make? Well, it makes a difference because you have to care for a tree, don't you? That's why we grow them in orchards. Because when you have a bunch of trees together, it's easy to care for them. They protect each other from storms. It's easy for someone to care for a bunch of those trees. How do you care for each of these elements on a tree? For example, how do you care for the roots, the trunk, the branches of a tree? Jennifer and I, a couple years ago, tried to plant an apple tree in our yard, and we didn't get it in the ground very long before a big windstorm came, and there were two main branches that came off the trunk, and the wind split one of those off. And because it was a young tree and that branch wasn't supported, it broke off, tree died. I had to dig it out. So what do you do when you plant young trees? You stake them to the ground, don't you? You support them. You might tie limbs together to support them. Because branches and root systems and tree trunks need support, don't they? Just like church leaders. In fact, the Bible talks about this in Exodus chapter 17. God tells Moses, Moses, you're leading the people of Israel. You're responsible for them. They're your people. And they're about to go into battle against the Amalekites. So here's what you're going to do, Moses. You're not going to take the field. You're going to stand on this hill. And when you raise your hands and worship to me, your people will win. But if your hands come down because you're tired, because you get distracted, your people will die. And it says Moses stands on this hill while the battle's going on, keeping his hands raised to the Lord. This is not some parable, some story. There's history about this, secular history about this. And Moses stood there, and his arms got tired, and so he started to put his arms down. And the moment he did, Israeli blood started to be spilled. His friends, the people he's responsible for, started to die. And he saw what was happening. He went, oh, man, and he puts his arms back up. Can I ask you to do something? Can I have everybody stand up? Why don't you put your arms up in the air? If you suddenly discover a hygiene issue in the person next to you, feel free to spread out, do whatever you need to do. Okay? But here's Moses. Moses is told you got to keep your arms in the air, and he thinks it's a joke all up till the time when his arms start to fall. And he looks, and young men are dying because his arms start to fall. And he goes on through a day because a battle is not just won real quick. You know, it's going on for hours and hours and hours and sometimes days and days and weeks. And he's standing up there with his arms in the air and suddenly he realizes he has a problem. Because if his arms come down, young men die. Families lose people. Blood is shed. Israel loses. He's responsible for these folks. And if his arms come down, they're toast. And so what to do? And the Bible says that some supporters come along and get him a rock to sit on. And anybody's shoulders starting to feel it? I've been moving for 3 days. Mine really are. This is what it feels like to be in ministry. This is why everything we do around here at the Orchard, we take so seriously. Because if your arms come down and you drop the ball for one weekend, for one meeting, for one opportunity, somebody who might not ever show up to church again is going to walk away and go, I knew they were jokers. I am never looking at that again. And they're eternally separated from God. That's why every Orchard Kids environmental meeting, we do the best we can to make sure that every kid has an opportunity to hear, because this might be their only time. And if we mess up, somebody may die eternally. Every song, every video, every message, every piece of everything we do here on the weekend, and we keep our hands up because we're afraid if we drop them, somebody will die, and that could be on us as leaders. That's what I want you to do. Without putting your hands down, I just want you to grab onto somebody around you. Help hold their arms up. If you're all by yourself, don't put your arms down. Just help hold your own arms up. When you're leading a church environment and it doesn't feel like you can take another step, do you know how wonderful it is to have somebody come alongside you and help hold your hands up? Moses had Aaron and Hur, two people that came along, and one person took this arm and held it up, and another person took this arm and held it up, and they got him somewhere to sit, and these two people held Moses' arms up in the air, and Israel won, and nobody else died. It's easier when you're holding somebody's hand, isn't it? Thanks, you can sit down. Felt good to put your arms down, didn't it? Just a little insight. Sunday afternoon, and the kids have been taught about Jesus, and the students have learned what it means to have a relationship with God, and the weekend has happened, and the auditorium was filled with people, and we've worked and we've strived to make the best opportunity we can for somebody to hear a message that will change their life. And the hands come down, and you're like, ah, until you realize it's only 6 days until you have to do it all over again. Because weekends come around with an alarming frequency. Just like Moses needed someone to hold his hands up, so do the leaders here at the Orchard. So do the leaders here at the Orchard. And can I tell you something? Orchard community, on behalf of Jen and I, thank you for holding our hands. I told you we came here from a transition experience that was very challenging. And my hands were very tired. And we were wiped. And we showed up here. And you guys have a knack for staking and supporting and holding up. And for a lot of months now, Jennifer and I have had our hands held in the air by you all. Thank you. It means the world. You'll never know how much. But don't stop that. Support the leaders here at the Orchard. Encourage them. Talk to them. Thank them. Pray for them. Walk up to Catherine and Katrina, who lead Orchard Kids, and say thank you for what you do for my kids. Or thank you what I see you do in the lives of other kids. I don't even have any kids, but thank you so very much. Ben and Anna Hammond lead students. On Sunday afternoon and Wednesday evening, walk up to them and say thank you for helping our teenagers see what it means to live like Jesus does. Approach Terry, who helps keep Scott on track. Pray for her. and tell her you appreciate all of her efforts. Mike Jones and his team, just the energy he uses in growing this Crowder thing is huge. The energy he puts into creating a worship environment. Scott and Amanda, the leadership, the sacrifice. Tell them thank you. Encourage them. Help them keep their arms up. Let me ask you this question, okay? What leaders here at the Orchard are you praying for? What leaders here at the Orchard are you really praying for? Not that you'd like to pray for or you think it's a good idea, because this is a question we very easily go, oh, yeah, I do. No, but seriously, day in and day out, what leaders here at the Orchard are you praying for? We'll say, I don't even know what to pray for them. Well, try this. Father, help them to hear your voice clearly. Have the courage to obey what you say. And help them keep their arms in the air. That's how you support the roots, the branches, the trunk of this tree here at the Orchard. Okay, secondly, that's what we can do about the trunk and the roots. But how about the fruit? If the whole purpose of the tree is to produce fruit, that means the tree exists for other people, right? Because the tree doesn't eat the fruit. I've never seen a tree go, hey, you know, I'm hungry. I'm going to pick myself here. It doesn't happen. No, the tree exists for everybody else around it. All of its existence, the tree has people, creatures come up to it, eat something it produced, and walk away. That's not fair. That's the nature of the tree. It's the nature of the church to exist for people who aren't there yet. So I want to ask you this question. How am I loving other people? Let me phrase it another way. Would people know you belong to Jesus only because of your love? Because if love is the ultimate fruit and the seed of the Word of God is wrapped up within the love in my life, who has tasted the fruit of my love, my kindness, my patience, my joy? When have you had non-followers in your home? No agenda. Not trying to convert them, just to love on them. When's the last time you showed someone outside of your immediate family you cared because they needed it? When's the last time you just abundantly loved on somebody because they were hurting with nothing to get back? How's your love? Can I brag on you a little bit? The fruit here at the Orchard is pretty sweet. It is. The fruit, the love of the Orchard, just while I've been here, has reached out and touched other continents, providing clean water for thousands and thousands of people in Africa, reaching out into the Aurora area, providing food and shelter and clothing. The fruit, the love of the Orchard, is very sweet indeed. And once again, from my family, Jennifer and I, my three boys, Michael, Jacob, and Charlie, who've tasted the fruit in Orchard Kids environment. Thanks. That's pretty cool. And here's the best part of it. Because you know the ultimate purpose of the fruit is the seeds. Jennifer and I are going to take a little bit of this fruit to Woolridge Road Church in Richmond, Virginia. Take some of the seeds here from the Orchard. And that combining with a bunch of other things, help plant that in this church. Who has as one of its core values ministry to children with special needs. Autism, Down syndrome. People drive from a 90-minute radius to get to this place. And I'm going to take some of the fruit of the love of the Orchard, some of the seeds from here, and help plant that in Virginia. So the Orchard will be reaching out in yet another place. Thank you for your love. And don't stop. Don't stop. How am I loving other people? So that's the root, and that's the fruit. Finally, about the leaves. How about the leaves? Again, what's the purpose of the leaves? The leaves' purpose is to produce the resources that the tree needs to thrive, to produce fruit, to grow. And what happens to unproductive leaves? They shrivel up and they blow away. Almost like God saying, okay, we're just going to move you on out of here. Now, again, if you are here and you're just lying under the shade of this tree, checking it out, you're welcome. Feel free. But if you're here and connected to the roots, to the trunk, to the branches of this orchard, and you're tasting the fruit that's produced here, be productive. Be productive. In fact, let me ask you this question. How am I serving the orchard? Am I volunteering anywhere? Am I serving in ministry someplace? Am I giving generously? Are you living as though the tree is there to produce fruit for other people, and so you're helping part of that production engine? Or are you simply staying here and eating the fruit produced by other people? Are you giving and living and serving and becoming, helping produce the fruit of the orchard? Or are you living as if the tree exists for the leaves? The purpose of the tree is to energize the leaves and make the leaves big and green and look good in the wind. And how am I serving the orchard? If you're here and you're connected to the orchard, be a leaf. Walk up to Catherine or Orchard Kids and say, you know what, I'll serve once a month in Orchard Kids. Once a month, that's not a big deal. Right? Call and say, I'll help out in an office. Email Ben, walk up and talk to Ben or Anna Hammond and say, you know, I would love to help you with the students. Take out a little extra life insurance when you do it, maybe, but help them with the students. Don't offer to help Mike Jones sing unless you really can, okay? Wait a minute, I'm going to be gone. Go ahead and do it anyway. I'll be in Virginia. No. Connect. Serve. Give generously. Whatever that is for you, be a leaf. Plug in. Be a leaf that energizes the whole tree, that makes the fruit sweet. So what's the orchard becoming? The orchard's like the tree in Psalm 1. I want to do one more substitution. Put this on the screen behind me. Look at this. This is substituting everything we've learning into this verse. Ready? The orchard is like a tree whose leaders are rooted by streams of water that yields its fruit of love in its season, and its member leaves do not wither. Here there is leadership. There is staff that's rooted close to the living water. And you are yielding a fruit of love all over the Aurora area, in fact, all over the world, planting seeds of the Word of God in thousands upon thousands of lives. And there are leaves here that serve faithfully and give generously. And Jen and I thank you for being our orchard for just a little while. Don't stop. This is a Psalms 1 church. Don't quit. One of my favorite books growing up was The Giving Tree by Silverstein. Don't stop being that tree that produces fruit for everybody else that needs it. Showing the love everywhere with the seeds of God's Word in the love of our lives. Being leaves that produce and give and serve because you're touching a world. And I'm going to take just a little bit of that out east to Richmond. Jen and I love you, and we'll miss you. Pray with me if you would. Thank you. Thank you. Please let me be seated. Father, you are so good to paint a picture for us in the scripture of the church as this tree with strong leadership roots. Father, and fruit that is tasty and sweet and delivers the seeds of the Word of God all over the place. and leaves that are healthy and producing and growing and that make everything sweet around it. I thank you, Father, for the orchard, this tree, that you're using to spread the word of God all over the planet. Father, I pray for each person here, each leader, each server, each giver, each listener, Father, that you would empower them, that you would envision them, that you would embolden them, Father, to go to the next level, to push through this season of growth and to reach the next season, Father, and continue doing the work that you have. I thank you for the opportunity to be impacted by the fruit of love and the seeds that were given to me here as we head, as Jennifer and I head to Virginia. And I thank you for the continued friendship and connection that we look forward to sharing. Father, we praise you. We thank you for all that you do. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we pray. Amen.